Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And my guest is Rob Misch, who is the author of the brand new book, Sports Betting for Winners, Tips and Tales from the New World of Sports Betting. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. You can get it at Amazon, you can get it online, you can go into your local bookstore and get it. Bottom line is where fine books are sold. Rob, this is a fantastic book, and the tips and tales from the new world of sports betting. A couple things about this. This isn't a how-to book, I found, quite early on as I read the book. The other thing is it's a new world now for sports betting. Can you kind of explain to me how this all packaged together?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you and talk about it. It's the book just kind of found me. Last summer, in the middle of that summer, is when I heard from someone who put me in touch with someone who knew someone. I mean, it came to me through an agent in Del Mar, and I'm real happy it did. There were two key points that were probably most important. I moved here in October 2002, so by the time the possibility of this book came to me, I had 16 years entrenched in Vegas, and I knew some really good people, and I figured they could turn me on to some really good people. The other thing is I had written three books by then, so I was given just an ungodly deadline of 4 months, exactly 4 months, wow, to go from nothing to finished manuscript. And part of the reason I took it was just to see if I could do it. I had never turned in a manuscript in less than 11 months previously, so part of it was a big challenge. Every waking minute was devoted to it, and I delivered the manuscript a day early, so I really wanted to tell a lot of tales about the history of sports betting from the veterans and experts in this city who have lived it on both sides of the counter. So I think from what you said, did I deliver?
You did, and I apparently should have taken the under on the 4 months deadline, right?
Ha, 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 ha. I will always be the deadline. Publishers can say whatever they want about me, but the one thing they can't say is that I don't deliver. And so I want that to be known about me in New York, that I'm either going to beat your deadline or I'm going to crush it.
Well, and you know, as I got into this book, there's so many tales, and it's just a lot of history involved. There's a great story in there, which I found interesting being in the Midwest here, of a Northwestern football game that involved Lefty Rosenthal. Can you kind of just summarize that story? Because that was one of the fun ones I found in the book.
Brian, that was the most surprising thing that I dredged up in all of the book, and there's a lot of great tales. People had a lot of interesting insights on what to do and what not to do, what to avoid. There's a lot of pitfalls, a lot of potholes, but when Len Banker, the incredible gambler that he is, he's been in town for 60 years, and he's done nothing but make money through sports betting. No other avenue. He is the icon of Las Vegas sports betting. I initially talked to him for about 2 hours, and when we got to talking about Lefty Rosenthal, he took me on an adventure that I never, ever imagined, to the point where I had to follow up with him 10 days later, and then I had to meet him 2 weeks ago to just try to triple confirm everything he said, because I'm doing an exclusive big piece on that topic alone for a big Midwestern paper. It's just so astounding. Oklahoma at Northwestern in September 1959. It's one of the most, it's probably the notorious college football game of all time. There was some tampering going on behind the scenes at the Shea Paree, a famous nightclub in Chicago, two nights before the game. 12 Oklahoma Sooners got poisoned. Flash forward to the game, they played horribly in a rainstorm. Northwestern crushed them. The coach of Northwestern was Ara Parseghian, who used that and other successes to get the Notre Dame job. That single game is the black mark of Bud Wilkinson's storied career at Oklahoma. And I pretty much have an eyewitness to the events that were happening in the kitchen that poisoned those Sooners.
Well, it's just a great tale, and I don't want to spoil it, but the way you've got this book set up, there are some things in there you've observed in sports books, but the biggest thing about sports gambling that I took away is it's unlike any other gambling that goes on in Las Vegas or elsewhere. It's just it's a different crowd. It's not the slot machine and tables crowd, right?
Right. Excuse me. It's difficult. It's so hard to conquer, and that's what a lot of people told me is the challenge. Of everybody I spoke with in the book, Brian, I totaled, for a show I did Sunday night, I totaled up all of the years of experience these subjects have betting sports in Las Vegas. It's more than 600 years of experience in that book. So that's one thing I never got around to totaling, and that really amazed me. And it actually didn't surprise me too much, because there are some real veterans who have lived and breathed this, and I really wanted to convey what their life has been like, what it's like to try to beat those numbers. And I kind of came up with three major rules of my own that I think are most important in sports betting. The very first one is, you better never lay money on the counter that you're going to miss. I don't think anything is more important than that. B, and I think a lot of your listeners will know what I'm talking about. You know those waders you use when you go out in the middle of the lake to catch the big rainbow trout? When you go into a sports book, you better have waist-high waders on, because there's a lot of BS in there. Number three, never, ever shake anybody's hand in a sports book. I think one of the dirtiest places on earth is the men's room in a sports book. I have taken an unofficial tally in recent years. The number of people who do not wash their hands after visiting the gents is close to between 66% and 75%. I would avoid even fist bumping anybody in a sports book.
Well, I think those are all great points. And I'm talking to Rob Misch about his new book, Sports Betting for Winners, Tips and Tales from the New World of Sports Betting. This is a new world. We now have sports betting here legalized in Iowa. We had it for years, you know, under the table and things. But yep. Now that it's come out, I think more people are getting into this. But I think the trap that a lot of people fall into is they see these ads for these picking services. And there's all kinds of ones you can subscribe to. There's cheap ones. There's some that are, you know, $100 for a day of picks. Do people in Vegas, professional bettors, do they use that type of service, or is this all snake oil?
It's a lot of snake oil, Brian. I actually, in my book, I speak with maybe two or three people who you could classify as touts. They're handicappers. They bet a lot. And then on the side, they try to make a couple bucks selling their picks and ideas. And, you know, I don't want to say 100% of them are dirty. There are some smart people who have done this a long time, who have some savvy ways, and they have some great lines of communication open with some key people, i.e. coaches and assistant coaches. Some people have some real insightful stuff. But one of the most redundant quotes I got in gathering information from everybody was, never, ever pay a penny for anybody's picks. This is a tough enough business, just trying to make money without paying someone for a pick and already being behind the black ball. That is an ultimate no-no. So that's from the smart people who have been here, the veterans. They do not advise ever giving money for a pick. And I hope that kind of sums up that train of thought.
Well, and, you know, thinking about the people in Vegas that you talk to, you have a section in the book where you talk to Jay Cornegi and yeah. From the Westgate Superbook. That's the big one in Vegas, the big sports book in Vegas. But when you went into his bunker there on a Saturday and watched him watch those games, was that beyond anything you can imagine? It almost sounded like a trip to Oz for me.
It really was. I went behind the curtain, and I had been trying to talk to Jay. His name is Jay Cornegi. He is the nicest guy you are ever going to meet. He is unassuming. If you met him in a Costco, you wouldn't be able to point him out. He's just even-tempered, and he's been in the business for probably about 35 years, and he moved over there from the Imperial Palace, where he really made a name for himself, where he and his staff produced these pages of Super Bowl props. They were the first ones to do it. So now when the Super Bowl rolls around and you hear about all these stories of 30 pages of props from Vegas, those are mostly going to be from the Westgate Superbook, from Jay Cornegi's staff, and other properties who have done this are mere offshoots of what Jay and his staff does. He's really entrenched in the city. And when I was trying to get into his office for weeks, he's a very busy guy, and finally I got the call, and he was letting me in at 11 a.m. on a college football Saturday. I could not have been more surprised or happy. I went in there with a list of questions, and I told myself, I'm not leaving until he gets so tired of me that he shows me the door. So I went deep with him, like you said, on a lot of subjects. He's watching these games, and at one point I just said, okay, where are you ahead? And he's got 12 screens in his office, big U-shaped desk. And he looks over the right side of the end of the U where all of his 12 screens are, and he looks at them, and he just says, well, we're ahead there, we're behind there, we're behind, we're behind, we're behind, we're ahead, but we're behind. But the key thing about that day was there was one pivotal game, Stanford-Oregon, and that would, it wouldn't make or break the house, but it would determine a lot. And there was some funky line movements leading up to game time, and it didn't make sense. I don't remember what the points were, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is Oregon was up a lot. People might remember this game from last year. Oregon was up a lot. And then Stanford just turned the tide. A pick six, a three and out. They got the ball back and scored. And then there was a fumble return for a score. It went to overtime, and Stanford won in overtime. And that decision alone made the book a loser for the day. So I asked him, you know, if he sweats anymore. Does something like that make you sweat? Does any game you watch on any given day, does it make you sweat? And he said, nah, I don't sweat anymore, because it's a long, they're in it for the long term. One day or 1 week, even 1 month, doesn't matter to them. It's a long run, it's 12 months, and then they either come out ahead or behind. Usually they come out very far ahead. He tells me that if a certain game is not going their way, he'll just turn it off and put a movie on. So I talked to him the following Monday, and the events of that game did not go his way, so I was curious how he reacted and what his night was like. And he told me, there was a point when he turned it off and put a movie on and enjoyed the night with his wife.
Well, you know, VSIN is big now in, well, all over the country now, thanks to Sirius Satellite Radio. And Brent Musburger, who, this VSIN's his baby, he made a comment in there that he likes trends, and one of the trends he likes is that he bets, if a baseball team goes on a three-game winning streak, he'll start betting them until they lose. And right. Because the streaks are big in baseball. Streaks are big in gambling. People look that a certain team is 6-1 against the spread. But isn't it, as the season goes on, the spreads start to adjust to those type of trends too? So you've got the sports books are looking at the same stats everybody else is.
They really do. It's so incredible. The numbers game is pivotal in this thing. You almost don't even have to know the name of the team. You can just kind of know what the line is, and you can kind of watch the way the money goes, and within that single number, you can almost digest what the book wants you to do. I was in the Superbook last year interviewing Matt Eumanns, and he's a fantastic broadcaster for VSiN. And he came from the Review Journal, where he wrote about sports betting. And I've been waiting to get a hold of him. And finally, he let me into the Superbook, where he and some pros were watching games. And so I interviewed him for a couple hours while all these other pros were around. And they're generally quiet. They don't advertise what they do. And they're very professional and really cool to be around. But Matt pointed one game out to me. And you know what, Brian? It doesn't matter what the game was. He told me to look at the line and to tell him what he thought. Well, there was a ranked team at home getting 14.5. And he looked at that game and he told me, okay, what would you do? And I said, well, Matt, the home team's getting 14.5. I feel like I'm getting a deal. My money's going there. And he goes, that's exactly what the book wants you to think. That's why that half is in there. They want you to think you're getting a deal. He goes, I'm the other way, and I'm big time the other way. And the other team won by 28.
Well, and they always get you with that hook on the half too, right?
Yep. You gotta think so deeply about this stuff. And sometimes you can get to a point where you have a lot of experience, you've digested a lot, and you can just look at a line and you know what to do. This happened to me early last week. I was talking to the crew over at Circa, Derek Stevens' new baby downtown. He is Mr. Downtown. He's been a great infusion into this city. So I was meeting his sportsbook team and talking about a lot of different things. Then I left them and I went to the Golden Nugget next door, and I just wanted to gather their numbers and see how different they were, what they were posting, different than other people, where some gems might be. So I look at the NHL line, and I knew that Marc-Andre Fleury was not playing that night for the Golden Knights, for the Vegas NHL team. They were in Philadelphia, And so I'm looking at their line, and it's Philadelphia as a plus price at home. And I know Fleury isn't playing. So all I did is I took some money out, put some money down on Philly at a plus price, knowing that, well, I might lose this, but I feel really good about winning it. And Philly blew them out. So there's a point where you can't input enough information into your brain, because you never know when it's going to pay off. And in the damnedest of ways, in the most organic of ways, it'll pay off. You just got to be patient.
And people who are just kind of getting into this, it seems overwhelming, and it is, to learn all of these things. But have you found that there's a certain amount of years or amount of time that people can put in before they should be comfortable doing this?
Well, don't do anything that's uncomfortable for the most part. I know what you're saying, and I spend a lot of time in one certain book here. In fact, I just came from there, did about 6 hours of work up there, just digesting some numbers and getting ready for College Hoops. I just today started a College Hoops column for Gaming Today. It's a weekly tabloid that's in every sports book, so that debut was today in Gaming Today, and you can almost see people walk in, and you know it's maybe their first time in a book, and they're kind of nervous, and maybe there's some reticence to even walking up and knowing how to place a bet. But it's very simple. There's a number next to the teams, and you can either make straight bets or over bets, or tell them you're going to do a parlay with X and Y. And I agree with you. That's not a minor thing. It can be imposing. And if you're interested in getting into this, just take a couple deep breaths and do your homework. Figure out your goal before you get up there. Know how to, I want the Buffalo Bills. They're number 201, and I want $20 on them to win on the money line, or I want $20 on them on a straight bet, which means you want the points. And rehearse it if you need to, but if you feel good about it, don't hold back. Just get up there and put your 10 or 20 down, whatever you feel comfortable in betting. And it's a brave new world, and it's something fun to take part of. I think most of the time you're talking about people who this is a hobby for. And again, if you can put money on the counter that you're not going to miss and you're going to have fun with it, I don't think anything is more important than that.
Our local sports book, and you mentioned parlays, and it made me think, we have a local sports book here in Sioux City. They push the hell out of these parlays. And I've always looked at those as kind of the slot machine of sports gambling, because they're so dang hard to hit. Is that kind of the thought?
If you talk to a professional bettor, someone who does this for a living, someone who actually has a bankroll and will only put 1% of that bankroll as a unit on a bet, in the rare occasion he'll put 2%. But the people that I know that I respect the most, they will put 1% on a bet. They won't waver, and they will laugh at you if you begin to talk about parlays or teasers. Todd Dewey does a fantastic job of covering sports betting for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and I interviewed him in depth. He's in the book, and he said something that has been ringing in my ears since he said it, and it's very true. He, like me, like a lot of pikers out there, like a lot of people who treat this as a hobby, we have a main goal, and that's to try to turn a little money into a lot. And he laughed at himself, because he takes part in parlays. It's tough not to when you can turn 20 into 72 or 100 into 360 if two teams win and you think you got two good bets. But those are why the foundations have been laid in Las Vegas for these sports books. I get into some detail in there about the percentages and how those are just so overwhelmingly in the favor of the book. If they know you're coming in to bet a parlay or a teaser, oh my God, the red carpet is laid out for you because you're about to take care of their salaries and insurance for the house for a long time. If you have the discipline to stay away from those, you're going to be better off in the long run.
All right, the book is Sports Betting for Winners, Tips and Tales from the New World of Sports Betting by Rob Misch. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. And check out some of Rob's other books. The Last Natural, I did read that one. The Last Natural was absolutely a fantastic book. So that about Bryce Harper.
There's a sad side story to the Bryce Harper book.
Yeah.
His coach, Tim Chambers, who moved on to UNLV, he passed away Sunday night of what they think is a blood clot from recent foot surgery. So it's kind of a sad day for baseball here in Vegas.
Wow. All right. Rob Misch, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva!